Well, hi guys, welcome to my daily teaching video. In a moment, I'm going to jump into part two of my new series, all about personal vision. Just written a book about this, and I'm going to be spending the next few weeks actually going through this book and really unpacking this idea, because I believe it's a really glorious one. And today's short video, I want to share actually some of the inspirational thoughts behind this. And I'm going to talk about how to have an outsourced brain and how to outsource your relationship with the Lord. Don't freak out on me. It's actually a really amazing and a biblical thought. Let me do three quick housekeeping things as usual. Mention that again. I have this book out right now on Amazon. You can get that as a paperback or Kindle, forwarded by Brian Simmons of the Passion Translation. So I really would encourage you to get that. I want to say a big thanks. We have literally sold thousands of these in the last 2 weeks now. So thanks to everybody who's bought that. Really appreciate it if you could leave me a review on Amazon. There's a link below to do that. Secondly, far too many things to go through in my ministry. If you're in New England, we'd love to see you visit one of our churches, Sturbridge, Otis, and Norwalk in Mass and Connecticut. We have churches meeting here every week, spirit-filled churches. You need one of those that are preaching the message of faith. Lots of things going on in my ministry. I'll be doing a missions trip next month. I'll be in Florida. In May, I will be in France and Belgium. In the month of June, I'm taking a team to Ireland, and there are places open if you'd like to come to Ireland with us. So details on my website. Lastly, I want to say a big thanks to all of our new partners as well, those who recently signed up with our ministry. We love and appreciate you. One of the things I've done ever since I was younger is I partnered with ministries. All of us should have a home church. We should all be tithing and committed there. We should all give to the poor, but we should also give to those who are in that outside of that church mission field, if you will. So big thanks to all of our partners. If you're interested in finding out more about becoming a partner, there'll be a link below to do that. Good. So let's talk about vision. Let's talk about vision, baby. And I think I showed this in the first video, but there's a part of me that's always pushed back from talking about that subject of vision, and probably wrongly so, but sometimes in my head it seems one of those very, you know, positive TED talk, hoorah, kind of have a vision for your life subject. And you know, what's the vision for this? What's the vision for that? Of course, there's nothing wrong with those things. That's probably just my upbringing leaking out. And yet I've really had an encounter with the Lord over this subject in the last couple of months. And I encourage you to go on this journey with me, because there's something powerful. God has a vision of your life. Now, again, I think immediately most of us, when we talk about vision, we tend to default to thinking about that in terms of, I will go here, I will build a big organization, I will save the world, I will do this, do that, do the other. Does God have those plans for our life? Well, like, yeah, yes, he does. I don't actually think God's vision is primarily around what you do, rather about who you are. It's possible to do the right things and yet not be the right person and completely miss the vision of God. It's actually possible to be the right person, and even if you're slightly involved in the wrong things, or not bad things, obviously simple things, but my point is, if you get your identity piece correct and in place with God, then all the rest, frankly, are just details. I know who I am. I'm in my own home church here. We've got a wonderful $1 million property thing here. That's great, but it's actually not the point. The point is, who am I in God? And when I am the person God calls me to be, I can do the things he calls me to do. Now, every day in this series, I want to be reading two scriptures. I began reading this yesterday. I don't want to come back to these. Habakkuk 2, verse 2, and also Ezekiel 40, verse 4. I'll just quote these for the sake of time. Habakkuk 2, 2 says, I think it's five things in one verse. See the vision. Now, God has a vision, but you need to see it, which means you need to look. It's like the imperative form of the verb. See the vision. And then it says, make it plain, or make it defined. Make it understandable. Bring definition to that vision. See the vision. Make it plain. Write it down. And we're going to talk about this in today's lesson. And then it says that somebody may read it. That can be actually you as the writer. You can read it, or others can read it. And then it says those who read it, it will release acceleration in the way in which they walk with God. They will run with it. See the vision, make it plain, write it down, that the one who reads it may run with it. And Ezekiel 40, verse 4, I'm just in love with this verse. This may be my favorite verse right now in the whole Bible. Ezekiel 40, verse 4, God's speaking to Ezekiel, and he says, "Son of man, see with your eyes, hear with your ears, fix your mind on the things I show you, and then go and proclaim or confess or declare them to your brethren, to the house of Israel. See with your eyes, hear with your ears, fix your mind on the things I'm showing you, and then go and speak or confess or declare them to the house of Israel." And that is, I believe, what God wants to do with each and every one of our lives. God has a vision, and you should be sharing about that tomorrow, but he wants you to have a vision. He wants you to see something. What you see in God changes you. What you see in God transforms you. What you see in God makes you into a completely different person. We are called to see things the way that God sees them. I believe if you want to see the unseen, well, you need to learn to close your eyes sometimes. We don't see things as they are. We really see things as we are. And what we see in the Spirit changes us, but it changes how we see things. Just press pause and go back over that again if that doesn't make sense. Now, what I want to share with you today is a really simple thought, and yet I believe it's an incredibly powerful one. I want to talk about having an outsourced vision. Now, what do I mean by that? Am I talking about outsourcing to another person, about, you know, giving this away, you know, not doing the work of it? No, I don't mean that. What I'm saying is, think with me for a few moments on this. I want to suggest to you, most of us are not very good at remembering things. Most of us have a memory problem. And I don't think it's actually, I'm not saying we have a mental problem. I think there's something about our soul that is not good at remembering things. It's interesting. Jesus fed the 5,000. And the very next day, he tells the disciples to go across the Sea of Galilee to the other side. They get on the boat and go. You know the story. The waves hit them. They think they're going to die. Jesus calms the storm. And then Jesus turns to them and he says, "Why were you so unbelieving?" And he said something to them. "Didn't you remember the bread?" Or some translations say, "Why did you forget the bread?" Here's what I think Jesus was saying. He said, "Yesterday I did one of the most supernatural things you've ever seen. I took a little boy's lunch and fed probably something like 10 to 15,000 people. This is 5,000 men and women and children beside. I fed thousands of people, and you've forgotten all about that. And today, when you're in another circumstance, the memory, it's not that they couldn't have gone back and said, "Oh yeah, what happened yesterday?" No. Here's my point. The emotional memory of it no longer had an influence on how they walked. And I have, in a sense, I've made peace with this idea, and I want you to think and just mull it over today, that I think we're not very good at remembering things. I think we experience things. I think most Sundays in this church, there will be people who get born again, people who become filled with the Spirit, people who get healed, people who have an encounter with God. And they go out those doors, they go to our cafe downstairs going, "This is incredible. Like, I feel like I met God in such a way today." 2 or 3 days later, some of them are kind of waking up going, "God, are you real?" I'm not being critical. I'm saying we are all like that. Elijah calls down fire from heaven, slays the prophets of Baal, does amazing miracles. The very next day, he's like, "God, is it even worth it?" And at an emotional level, we're not good at remembering things. Let me tell you a quick story from a movie that really helped me in my thinking about this. And again, full disclaimer, I'm not recommending this movie. There may be something, I'm not even sure I watched it all the way through. My point is not this is a great family movie. My point is there's a really interesting idea about this movie. There's a movie called The First 50 Dates. And I'll give you a quick synopsis of the story. It's about a young man who meets a young lady, I think at a diner. and she's beautiful, and he, you know, gets on with her so well. They really connect, and both he and this young lady, it's like they're falling in love, and oh, they're so happy, and we're going to meet here tomorrow and have breakfast together at the diner, and they go away like, yeah, I met somebody really special today. The next day, he goes to her, and she doesn't even know who he is. She's like, I never met you in my life. And he's really confused, and he, you know. Eventually, he finds out a few weeks later, this girl has a strange condition. She was in a car wreck, I think about 2 or 3 years earlier. And, you know, physically she's okay, but she had brain damage, and she has a kind of short-term memory loss. And what happens in the movie is that every day this young lady wakes up, and she thinks it's the day of the accident. Yeah, her retention and her memory only goes to the time of the accident. And every day she lives her day, but the next day she wakes up and she thinks again it's the morning of the accident. And everything she lived in the last 24 hours disappears. And of course, he really likes this girl, but then people come to him and say, how can you have a relationship with somebody who won't remember who you are tomorrow? And, you know, he backs away. And eventually he comes up with an idea. And he decides he's going to meet this girl again. For her, it's the first time he's ever met her, and challenge her to begin keeping a journal. Now, follow my thinking here. To outsource her memory, to realize there are things she remembers, but if she's going to move forward in life, she needs to start setting memories down. And as this movie progresses, in a way, it's like the girl accepts this is who she is. She's got this real limitation and begins taking some of her memories, her lived experiences, and storing them in an external place. Now, of course, that's very limiting, but every day she has to wake up and, in a way, read some of her journal and find out what's been going on recently in my life. And the movie ends, I think it ends with a shot kind of 5 years after this event, where this young lady wakes up, and, you know, as she's like waking up, she looks around, and there's a video recorder. Dates the movie, doesn't it? With the TV saying, watch this before you wake up. And she watches the video. And anyway, the video now, the movie, if you will, explains the accident and what's happened. And you're now married and you're now mom to a five-year-old girl or whatever it is. And here's your life. Now, that's a funny movie. In a way, that's a really sad movie. Can I suggest to you there's a part of our relationship with God that's the same thing. God says something to us and boo, we let it slip away. It's there in our memory somewhere, but it no longer affects who we are. And I think if we're going to become the people God wants us to be, it's not enough to simply live a life where we go from one emotional experience to another, and then we just let them drift downstream, and we're always looking for the next one. I want to challenge you that God has a vision of how he wants your life to be. God has a video cassette, if you will. He's seen the rest of your life. And he wants you not to live pushed around by everybody else's vision of your life. He wants you to begin setting those things down. And I think there's a power in setting them down in an external storage system, like a journal or a, you know, notepad on your computer, whatever that might be, in a way that you can go and revisit those things and say, yes, that was a word God spoke to me. And then meet God around those things. That's a really powerful thing. And it's something I've discovered in my life that I can, my point is like I'm building a relationship. Everything God gives me, I have in the spirit all the time. The revealed things belong to us, Deuteronomy 29:29 says. But if I want to walk in the experience of those, I can't simply learn to trust my memory. See the vision, make it plain, write it down, that the one who reads it, me, you, may run with it. Selah. Guys, I'm going to explain in really practical detail how to do this over the next few days. Again, I really do encourage you to get a copy of this book. It will bless your socks off. And more importantly, this is a workbook to take you through that process of defining your spiritual life. So get a hold of this. There'll be a link in the show notes to this video to do that. Do check out all the videos below. I really would love to hear from you. Drop me a comment, thumbs up, whatever that may be. Let me know if I can pray for you, and I will do that. And I'll be back tomorrow with another video. Bye for now.